We're talking diabetes here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new patented device is now on the market to help people with diabetes safely inject insulin with one hand. It's called SteadyShot. It's mounted on a standard insulin injector. Do you struggle with taking insulin shots? What type of device do you use? What don't you like about how you inject your insulin right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Shawn Michaels is a type 1 diabetic who invented the SteadyShot device in 2016 while earning his business degree at UW-Madison. Shawn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Can you help us understand what SteadyShot is? What did you invent?
Yeah. So when you're type 1 diabetic or diabetic in general, you either have to inject insulin or get it in the form of an insulin pump. So for people who use insulin pens, they have pen needles, and then SteadyShot attaches directly to standard pen needles, making it easier to use one hand and reach new injection sites. So if you're stuck injecting in your easy-to-reach spots and you start getting a condition called lipohypertrophy, which is bruising and scar tissue at your injection site, now SteadyShot makes it really easy to avoid injecting in those areas and reach new injection sites.
Oh, so because if you keep going back to the same injection site, you're going to get bruising and other issues under the skin?
Yep. So on average, a diabetic will inject 3 to 5 times per day. So that's 1,100 to 1,800 injections per year. So as you can imagine, if you keep injecting in the same spot, those injections are going to add up, and then you're going to start having some bruising and scar tissue happen after a little bit.
So your device, it attaches to the your injector pen, and then it helps you stabilize your hand so you can try different areas?
Yep. So you typically, there's 5 injection sites, which are your stomach, thighs, arms, back, and butt. And most people like to inject in their stomach and thighs. So about 38% of insulin injectors have lipohypertrophy, and this happens from not rotating injection sites and reusing insulin pen needles. So SteadyShot makes it really easy to reach any injection site. And then say you're left-handed and you don't know how to use your right hand to inject, now you can easily use your right hand to inject in, say, your left arm, because now it stabilizes the needle for you and you don't have to worry about keeping your arm stable.
How is SteadyShot different from other insulin injection tools that are out there?
Yeah, so there's only one similar injection tool out there in the UK called TickleFlex, but that is more aimed towards alleviating pain and not necessarily rotating towards injection sites. And I bought it and tried it out, and it didn't work very well for me. So I think SteadyShot's a much better product, and it's not only just for helping you rotate injection sites. So we've had young injectors use it who are just learning injections, and they said it's been much easier to give injections. It's like training wheels for the needle. Or if you're older, you have dexterity or arthritis, now it's easier to insert the needle and use one hand. So there's a multitude of benefits for it, and there's really nothing like it out there on the market. It's just a one-of-a-kind, unique device.
We're talking with Shawn Michaels, who invented a new insulin injection device in 2016. It helps stabilize the injection pen. How do you take your insulin? Do you use a needle and syringe, a pen pump, an inhaler, another device? Tell us about your preferences with insulin. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Shawn, tell us about your experience learning that you had diabetes. How did you find out?
Yeah, so I was a junior in high school. I was a 3-sport athlete at the time, so I was in really good athletic shape. But in my strength and conditioning class one day, I just was getting super winded doing the easiest workouts, and it didn't really make any sense because, like, I work out regularly, and I've never gotten winded that often. So that was the first big red flag because I was passed out for, like, 15 to 30 minutes just in the corner after a simple sprint workout. And then at a basketball game, I started to just drink just tons of water, just trips to the bathroom, trips to the bubbler, water fountain way too often. And I ended up Googling diabetes symptoms, found out I had basically every symptom, went into the doctor and they took a blood test and then came back and told me that I had type 1 diabetes. So it happened pretty quick after I started noticing the symptoms, but it was just basically every symptom you see online I had, and I figured there had to be some sort of correlation going on.
What kind of challenges did you face while managing your insulin?
Yeah, so when you're first diagnosed, you go through a week or longer training class where they teach you about carbohydrate counting, calculating your insulin doses, and then basically just learning how to live with elevated or lower blood sugar levels and how to correct them. So it was just adjusting to all of that. I found out to be the toughest at first. And then once I started getting seasoned as a diabetic and then knew how to give injections and injected way too many times in my stomach and thighs, that was the next biggest problem I had. So then I made steady shots help me rotate away from those overused injection sites. And now I don't have that problem anymore.
So you feel like you're able to do your injections confidently in the other areas and not just your stomach or your thighs?
Yeah, so the first time I made steady shot, I was able to inject in my arms. I never injected in my arms before that. And then I never actually even knew you could inject in your butt. But then I came across a first tester who heard that some people tried it. And then it makes that easier to do when you're injected in your butt. So then I started injecting in my butt and my back. And then it just made it a lot easier to give that larger dose too. So there's two different types of insulin that you can inject. It's your fast-acting and your long-acting. And your long-acting is usually a much bigger dose. So you have to hold the needle in the skin longer. So I found that with steady shot, now if you're reaching an awkward injection site and you have to give a really big dose, it's much easier to do that now because that dose can take anywhere from 5 to 10 seconds to administer all the medicine. So it really helps you out with that too.
How important is it to have a diabetic manage and run the company Steady Shot?
I think it's really important because I'm having the same problem that all these other diabetics are having too. So I feel like it gives legitimacy to the device. It's a big problem that tons of people have. And then I feel like I can really resonate with the end injector because tons of people have this problem. And it's not just for rotating. Everyone, 25% of diabetics inject insulin. So there's a huge number of people that are injecting, and I'm just like them, basically.
How has the process been going through the patenting and going through getting this tool on the market?
Yeah, so when I first came up with the idea, I sketched it out and then made a nuts and bolts prototype to test to make sure the concept worked. And then after that, I went and Googled researched some patent stuff and then ended up writing a provisional patent myself and then filed that and then pitched to the Discovery to Product program, who then helped me with mentorship and commercialization. And then when I was in D2P, I worked with a legal corps, a pro bono patent program, who then turned the provisional patent into a non-provisional patent. And then it was just after that, it was just waiting 2 years to hear back from the patent examiner. And then once we heard back from the patent examiner, we had to give him some more information, and then we ended up getting our patent issued in December of 2019. So it was a long roller coaster of a ride, but I'm really glad I did it because we ended up getting an issued patent out of it.
Well, Sean, thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And if anyone's interested on Steady Shot, check out mysteadyshot.com.
Sounds good. Shawn Michaels invented an insulin injection device. It's called Steady Shot. Coming up, we talk with a UW diabetes researcher about managing the disease. Are you type 1 or type 2? What questions do you have about controlling your blood sugar? Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment for more on managing diabetes right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about managing diabetes here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So diabetes is on the rise with no signs of slowing down. By 2030, nearly 55 million Americans are predicted to have either type 1 or type 2 diabetes. And then the mounting costs, estimated to be north of $622 billion over the next decade. Have you recently been diagnosed with diabetes? How are you managing the disease? Are you pre-diabetic? What are you changing about your lifestyle? What questions do you have about insulin? We're at 800-642-1234. Michelle Kimple is an associate professor in the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Michelle, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking about the injection sites for insulin. What are some of the ways diabetics get insulin into their bodies?
So we heard about injecting insulin, and there are a lot of diabetics, type 1 diabetics require insulin in order to live, but there are also a lot of type 2 diabetic individuals who need insulin. And
so type 1, you were diagnosed as a child. Type 2 is later onset in life?
Or that used to be the traditional viewpoint, but and it still is the case that most individuals with type 1 diabetes are diagnosed as children or adolescents or even early in their 20s. And that has to do somewhat with the link between childhood diseases as a trigger for type 1 diabetes. But there are, it is becoming clear that there are individuals who do develop type 1 diabetes later in life. Sometimes that has a genetic component. Sometimes nobody knows why. And then type 2 diabetes used to be considered more of a disease of aging. And as if you know anything about type 1 or type 2 diabetes, you might have heard of insulin resistance. And that just means that your body has to work harder to make insulin. So in some people, the beta cells in the body, which are the only cells that make insulin, sort of poop out. And so this tends to happen as you age and become insulin resistant throughout the natural course of aging. But obesity is also a huge factor in insulin resistance. And so that's scientists think that's why we're seeing more type 2 diabetic individuals diagnosed earlier in life before middle age, because they're already becoming insulin resistant.
What are some of the mechanisms that we maintain blood sugar, that we get that insulin?
So you, as we talked about before, you can inject insulin. A lot of people feel like they have more control when they're measuring their blood glucose throughout the day and deciding what injection to give themselves. There's different types of insulin. So there's long acting and rapid acting. And some individuals really like being able to have more control over that. But I think that a lot of individuals are really choosing to go with an insulin pump. And it still requires a continuous glucose monitor, and you still have to dial in when you're about to eat and put in the estimated amount of carbs, but it does make things a lot simpler. And for some people, especially who've struggled with the injections or maintaining their blood glucose in a healthy range throughout the day, the pump has become an attractive option.
Let's take a call now. Nikki in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, good morning. I'm very interested in this subject. Pre-diabetic when I was pregnant, had type 2 in probably in my 40s, and then as I got older, it changed to type 1 after because of women having autoimmune problems. And my real worry is the cost of insulin. I have a pump now, and I'm 62, and I'm going to go to retirement age. I am very, very worried about the cost of insulin. But I do have to say about the pump, I was on injection pens, and now the pump, I probably got 8 or 9 years ago, it is a blessing. It is just a blessing to have a pump. And now I need a new one because I've changed insurances. But my fear is retiring and the cost and how much equipment you have to have. And I cannot have a sugar glucose monitor because it's just too expensive. I have to still be pricking my finger.
Nikki, thank you so much for that. The cost of insulin, what are you seeing?
Well, as a researcher, I don't directly work with patients, but I am pretty active with working with our clinicians and on the Twitter sphere in the type 1 and type 2 diabetes arenas. And this is a huge, huge problem. And it's actually quite sad as a researcher because I could make new different types of insulin with different properties that could help people to better control their blood sugar. But the cost of that is prohibitive for a lot of people, and they're still using sort of our original type insulins that really aren't any different from the insulin that you could get in 1920. So
wow.
Yeah, and switching insurance is a problem too, because once you like we heard from Nikki, once you switch to a pump and you get really good glucose control and you switch insurance, you have to reapply to be eligible to get that pump. So in the 3 or 4 months while you're waiting, you have to go back to managing your blood sugar with just daily injections. And I don't think people understand what it's truly like to have diabetes that requires insulin. And a lot of type 1 and even type 2 diabetic individuals don't consider that a disability. But in my mind, anything that makes you alter your lifestyle is I wouldn't call it a diabetic individual disabled necessarily, but it's a huge, huge
impediment.
Factor.
Yes. Yeah. Let's bring in Ben now in West Salem. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I was very interested in your conversation. I've been to Madison for a transplant. I've been a type 1 diabetic since I was 11. I'm now 40. I've been through the roller coaster, as your caller before said, finding just access to insulin in most of my collegiate life. Like the gentleman who invented the invention before, I was a three-sport athlete in high school, same situation. I found out through sports that I was type 1 diabetic. But just finding my insulin throughout my entire life has been a problem, and I am a fighter, and I still lost the ability to use my kidneys because I never had direct access to insulin. I could never get it cheaply. When I was in high school, I could go buy a bottle. I think it was $46 when I bought it, cash, in college. And now I'm an adult, and I can't afford to buy insulin. That one bottle, I believe, is upwards of $400 now.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, I haven't had to buy it in a while, but I have access to an Omnipod Dash, and I use the new Medicare CGM system from Dexcom. And I just can't imagine that as parents, anybody out there listening would not encourage their lawmakers to push through, at least for 18 and under, a CGM system, because if you know what your insulin is, you will take care of it. Part of the biggest problem is these children feel ostracized and they feel different. And we know how kids can be. They make little comments, but sometimes these comments make landslides.
Ben,
you know?
we're short on time here, but what is the system that Ben is referring to here?
So the Omnipod is one of the continuous insulin pumps.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's actually really convenient. It's essentially like three inches wide about, and it's got a sticky pad on it, and you just push it into your arm or whatever site you decide to use, and it's really convenient. So there are a lot of individuals who really like these devices.
In the short time we have left with you, is there any hope here on the horizon that we can make an insulin that is accessible, that is affordable, that can help people control their lives?
I mean, I think that the current insulin options we have could be affordable, and they're certainly available. It's just, I think that it's an issue with our entire healthcare system, And yet just a failure to understand what a hardship this is, and that it's really life or death for a lot of people. I mean, it's the saddest part is there are still people dying of complications from diabetes, and we have the tools to keep people alive and to let them lead a relatively normal life. So the fact this is still happening is very discouraging.
Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Michelle Kimple is an associate professor in the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Coming up, it's been nearly 2 weeks since the mass shooting at the Molson Coors Brewing Complex in Milwaukee. We'll check in on the investigation and what authorities are learning about the motive. That's coming up right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.